Susan, thank you. We continue our series of party leader interviews now, and we're joined live in our studio by the Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou MacDonald. Good afternoon, and you're
very
welcome.
Good afternoon, Justin. Thank you so much.
And thank you for coming in. Can we start with the dispute about whether Michael Lowry, who supports the government and his group of TDs, should be allowed to have the same rights as opposition parties when it comes to Dáil speaking time? That dispute disrupted the appointment of the Taoiseach, and it threatens to disrupt Dáil proceedings next week as well. What's your solution to that row?
So we find ourselves in a very serious situation where Micheál Martin, Simon Harris are prepared, it seems, to turn logic, reality and democracy on its head, all to meet the demands, it seems, of Michael Lowry and his group of independents. It's been made very clear to Micheál Martin, to Simon Harris, that this cannot stand. In fact, we met as a combined opposition at leadership level to set that out, to press the fact that there can be a solution. You've asked me very reasonably what it is. Let me tell you what it is. That the reality is acknowledged that Michael Lowry and his colleagues not alone support the government. They were party to the programme for government. They have colleagues holding ministerial office. They have vowed to support the government through thick and thin. They've said publicly that they are not working from the outside, that they are part and parcel of the government. And by the way, they are entitled to be all of that. And so their speaking time, to which they are entitled, should therefore logically come from government time. And if they wish to form a new grouping on the government benches, we have indicated clearly that we are open to that. That's the solution. But what we will not have is any attempt to pretend that you can be in government and in opposition at the same time. And just to say, Justin, for some people who might think that this is just some dry technical argument, it really isn't. This goes to the heart of how we do our business on behalf of the Irish people. They're entitled to a government, a good government, ideally, and they are also entitled to, and democracy can only function where you have a clear and strong opposition that is not encroached upon in a very, very cynical way by government deputies.
You've been given guarantees that the solutions being proposed by the government will not diminish opposition speaking time at all.
But you see, but we have seen the so-called solutions, and they're not solutions at all.
Can I ask you, will you accept any solution which involves Michael Lowry and his group speaking during leaders' questions?
No, we won't. Leaders' questions and the rules that govern the Dáil are very clear. Leaders' questions are for opposition leaders to hold the Taoiseach of the day to account. It is the opportunity for those of us elected by the people to lead the opposition to hold, in this case, Micheál Martin to account.
But do you not accept that you can be in opposition and support the government? It has happened for years. We had the confidence and supply arrangement, and there were TDs in the last Dáil as well who were classified as opposition TDs, but who also supported the government in votes, almost all votes.
And the quality of the opposition of those TDs was to be judged by the electorate was very poor. There were only ever proxies for government. But here's the distinction. This group, on the watch of Michael Lowry, negotiated the programme for government. They have colleagues who are junior ministers and super junior ministers, part and parcel of the government. They have said themselves very clearly that they are not outside of government, they are inside government. Does anybody actually believe that Michael Lowry, taken to his feet during leaders' questions, is a person who, as an opposition deputy, would be putting Micheál Martin through his paces and holding him to account? That is not the case. It is a nonsense, it's a farce, and it's an insult to democracy, and it's been this isn't simply a Sinn Féin position. This is the position of the combined opposition. We have given the solution, which is clear and straightforward. But Micheál Martin and Simon Harris, for reasons best known to themselves, are prepared to jump through all sorts of hoops.
And they have the numbers if they want to push through their side or their solution. The government has a majority. So if they do push it through, if the government votes through its solution to this, what will you do?
Well, look, they had the numbers also when the Dáil met. And we saw where that landed. We are simply not prepared to be pushed around by this government to have logic and reality turned upside down. This is Alice in Wonderland stuff. We're not prepared to allow the democratic function of the opposition to be undermined at the very, very beginning of this new Dáil.
Is walking so out something that you would consider?
We will stand our ground, Justin, and we will consider all and every options. But let me tell you, the best outcome for this is for Micheál Martin in particular, but also Simon Harris as the junior partner in government, to face reality, to be truthful and honest and fair and democratic on this question. And the truthful democratic position is those deputies that are part and parcel of government, of course, have a right to speak, of course, have a right to represent their constituents from the government benches.
Okay.
It's that simple.
Is walking off the job, is that something that you would consider as a protest?
We are in contact, all of us, the combined opposition, and we will consider every single option available to us. Our first option has been to write to Micheál Martin as Taoiseach to indicate our clear rejection of their so-called solutions, which were no solution at all. In fact, they're digging in, it seems to me. Our second move will be to look to meet with the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste. We want to get this resolved, but the resolution of this can only be found in facing reality
and respecting the democratic function of
the opposition.
Have you been given any positive indication that there will be a meeting between the party leaders?
No, not as of yet. We will formally request that meeting. I imagine that the meeting will happen. I can't imagine why it wouldn't. Just remember, before the Taoiseach, the new Taoiseach was elected, the Chief Whip, Hildegard Nocton, read onto the record of the Dáil that there was a problem, which there clearly is, in terms of a clear recognition and respect of who is and is not an opposition TD, that we needed to find a solution and that that solution had to be agreeable to not just the government, but to the opposition also. And we expect people to honour their word when it's placed on the record of the Dáil.
All right. Your colleague, Pa Daly, went to court during the week to challenge the government's appointment of super junior ministers. We've had super junior ministers in the cabinet since 1994 when Pat Rabbit was first appointed as a super junior. If it's such a point of principle for Sinn Féin, why did it take 31 years to raise an objection?
Well, we raised this matter with Governor Pa, particularly in 2020. A concern was raised. We now find ourselves 5 years later, and it's not alone that we have super junior ministers, so-called. The number of them has grown. The Constitution sets out that there would be a maximum number of 15 in government. We now find ourselves in a situation that where we're at 19. So you have to ask yourself the question, where does this end? Like, where do you draw the line?
It began 31 years ago and you didn't seem to have a problem until this year.
The courts will adjudicate whether or not this practice is lawful. I wasn't in the Dáil 31 years ago, as you can appreciate. We are dealing with this matter now in real time. There is a real question to be asked here, because when you survey what has been pursued to form this grubby government with their grubby deals, what you see is that the position of Ciaran Comhairle was used as a bargaining chip. The position of Leas Ciaran Comhairle is to be sliced and diced between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Again, not something that is the correct approach. These positions are supposed to be elected by TDs. You have seen an absolute growth, an exponential growth in junior ministers, 23
of them.
But
you've decided to make an issue of this. I mean, is this a tactic of disruption? And is this something that we are going to see from Sinn Féin for the next 5 years, that you'll dig in, oppose, disrupt, be belligerent and have a sort of a thundering opposition to everything
we will be assertive and we will be robust and we will hold this government to account at every turn. And if anybody doubts for a moment that robust, assertive opposition is necessary, I would just invite them to observe the manner in which this government has come together, the way in which they have ridden roughshod over the procedures of the Oireachtas, to the extent that they now want to turn reality and democracy on its its head and insist that those TDs, those Chuck Dolly, who support or right. part and, of or committed to their government are to
point.
Be regarded as members of the opposition. It's a nonsense. It's an insult.
You announced a refresh of your front bench team during the week, except it wasn't really a refresh, was it? Because you have the same people in the three most senior portfolios of health, housing and finance. If you have the same people saying the same things with the same policies, how can you expect different results
and
at the next election?
We have Mairead Farrell in public expenditure and reform, and we have Rose Conway Walsh in enterprise and employment, and we have in Joanna Byrne and Donna McGettigan, two brand new TDs from Clare and Louth, respectively. So this is a different front bench. It is a refreshed front bench. But of course, we retain the talent and the experience also. Why wouldn't we? I mean,
if your policies were rejected, if, for example, everybody agrees housing was the big issue going into the election, and your housing policy was not accepted by the people as being the solution they wanted put forward in a government, then why have you got the same person
Let me make two points on housing and on Eoghan Oibrín in particular. If you were to go by polling data, there's figures in today's newspapers which reflect that Eoghan Oibrín is in fact the most popular choice, the most trusted individual in respect of guiding solutions to housing. And furthermore, a huge majority of people don't believe the government can solve housing, and a big proportion don't believe that they are even trying. What we also know is that parties of government during the election campaign misled the public in terms of the stories that they were telling about housing completions. They used false figures. And of course, that skewed the debate. By the way, those figures were reported as fact when they were not factual. They were simply erroneous assertions by Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And now they've been found out. And the really sad part of this, the really, really challenging part, is that this housing crisis is touching every part of our society. And we cannot countenance another 5 years of this botched failure by government and the hardship, the real hardship that brings to people's lives. So you asked about the quality of our opposition. On that issue in particular, we will be absolutely relentless because we do have the alternative approaches and policies that can work. So we will go toe-to-toe with government on every issue, but perhaps most particularly this one.
All right. You nominated Conor Murphy, Northern Ireland's economy minister, to contest the Shannon elections. He's considered very likely, I think, to take a seat. He's a very senior figure in your party. Before entering politics, he served time for IRA membership. He was an MP, an MLA, a minister, a member of your party's Ord Cóirle, a senior leadership figure in your party. Is this a calculated decision to ensure that the Sinn Féin operation in Belfast has more of a say about what is going on in the Oireachtas under your leadership?
Well, Conor, as you should know, is actually from South Armagh. He's not from Belfast.
No, I know where he's from.
He'd be quite amused to be described as a Belfast apparatus.
Well, Belfast is where the leadership of Sinn Féin in Northern Ireland is. That's why I was referring to Belfast.
The leader of Sinn Féin actually lives in Dublin, and the collective leadership of Sinn Féin, my partner in leadership, Michelle O'Neill, is from Tyrone. But there you go. Let's not argue the county rivalries in this. Conor is coming into the Shannon at a time where there needs to be real time preparation for the transition from a partitioned Ireland to a united Ireland. He has considerable experience, as you've set out there. He brings huge experience and wisdom and expertise, and he will be a voice for Northern citizens. He will be a voice for reunification. And in particular, he will take an interest in the economic transition, the development of the all-Ireland economy, investment, infrastructure, innovation.
Okay.
All of that is his bag.
He is somebody at the moment in his ministry in Northern Ireland who oversees a budget of £1 billion, and he's moving to the political backwater of the Shannon. I mean, does that not suggest that the Northern Ireland Sinn Féin operation sees that there's something going wrong long in Leinster House?
So, no, we have a singular operation. We're like the GAA or the IRFU. We are an all-Ireland. We are a national organisation. There is one Sinn Féin, not two. And we make our decisions and we take initiatives such as Conor coming into the Seanad in a collective way. So let me repeat, we are at a point where Irish history is being written, in our view. Things are changing. The demographics of our country is changing. And the conversation about reunification is live in a way like I have never seen before. We are going to have referendums on Irish unity. They're provided for in the Good Friday Agreement. We have to be prepared for that. The preparatory work has to start now. And one of Conor's purposes in the Oireachtas will be working with the rest of us to ensure that the parties of government and opposition, all of whom made commitments in terms of Irish unity and reconciliation and so on, that they are held to account, that they are that they keep their word, and that we move this on in an inclusive and constructive way as we can.
Can I ask you about comments made by the former Foreign Affairs Minister, Charlie Flanagan, to RTE News? He has raised concerns about the current UK inquiry into the Omagh bombing. He fears that vital evidence may not be available to it because there is no parallel inquiry on this side of the border. Do you agree with him? And do you believe that the Irish government should hold a separate inquiry into the Omagh?
Well, I do agree with him, and I agree with the families concerned who have been calling for this from the get-go. We've been making this case since as far back as 2010. There is clearly a challenge and an issue in terms of compellability. So we need to do everything that is necessary to make sure that this inquiry is successful. So yes, I support the families. And I think just to recall that Charlie Flanagan would have been in government and part of the he remains, as so far as I know, a member of the party, one of the parties that is now in government. So changes that need to be made, moves that need to be made here in Dublin should be taken without delay.
OK. Will Sinn Féin be running a presidential candidate?
I don't know is the answer to that. We haven't taken a decision on it. I know that there has been some talk around finding agreed strong candidates maybe amongst the parties of opposition. I think that's an option. We also, of course, have the option of running a candidate ourselves. So we'll debate that.
What's your preference?
I don't have a strong preference. My only preference is that we end up with somebody of calibre and commitment in the as Uachtaráin na hÉireann, somebody for our purposes who has a huge commitment to Ireland's place in the world, to Irish reunification.
Would you
and
like
reconciliation.
That person to be a member of your own party?
That might be the case. I wouldn't be totally stuck on that position. I think it could be a member of Sinn Féin. It could also be somebody from outside the party. What will matter is the calibre of the person and the agenda and the values that they stand for.
Will you be speaking with other parties seeking to get an agreed candidate with the other opposition
parties? I would imagine that as we deliberate on this, that would be part of the process, yes. But just to stress, that is not underway at all. Okay. We've been caught up in Dáil elections and Seanad elections and so on.
And you've said, I think, in the past that you didn't think Gerry Adams would be interested in the job. That's still your view, is it?
That remains my view, yes.
And have you spoken to him about it?
Well, not at length, but I mean, he's never indicated. I think it's been the case that others have speculated or have asserted that he might be interested. He's never actually made that point or that case himself.
And what about yourself?
No.
You're not.
I'm otherwise engaged, Justin. Right. I'm busy.
Just a final question. You referred earlier to the possibility of border polls taking place. I mean, your ultimate aim as a party is to seek Irish unity.
Right.
You'll have heard the comments from the Taoiseach and Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Harris recently, where he said that unity was not his priority. He said that it was not his expectation that there would be a border poll within the next 5 years. Do you accept now that there is no appetite on the part of the current government for a unity referendum, and that Sinn Féin's failure to attract enough support to get into government itself means that a border poll is not now going to happen by the end of the decade, as you had hoped?
No, I don't accept that at all. In fact, in the course of the election campaign, I made the point repeatedly that irrespective of who was in government, who managed to form a government, that this issue is now live. And I think responsible government, indeed government that has any sense of vision or purpose for Ireland for the future, has to now be actively engaged in preparation for referendums. All of us are signed on for the, well, the Irish government, the Irish state is the signatory to the Good Friday Agreement. The referendums on unity are part and parcel of that. Let me just say, you know, you may try, and Fine Gael with Simon Harris, by the way, Leo Varadkar, his predecessor, takes an entirely different view and has articulated an entirely different view, and the right view, in my opinion, on this matter. You may wish to dodge this question, to delay it, but the fact is that this change is happening. So the only question is, do you manage it in an orderly, planned and inclusive way or not?
Right.
And I think this is far too big a question with far too many opportunities and challenges as well to be left to chance. So good government will manage this and will plan.
Mary Lou MacDonald, leader of Sinn Féin, thank you very much
My
for
pleasure.
Speaking with
thank
us today.
You,
we're back with Trump, tariffs and trade after this.